Blog Talk Radio.
I can't see. Yo, what's going on, people? It's your man, Beast Bone Gun, live on the off-ramp. Welcome. It's tough for me to see. September. We're in September already. Yeah. September. Did we do a show last week? I guess that was August 31st. Welcome to the off-ramp, September 7th, 2023. Welcome to the off-ramp, a show for the people, by the people, everybody's the people. So where me and my folks get together right about the week's mathematics. He was popping in the streets. See what's going on in your hood, my hood. We discuss about it. We like to discuss sports, politics, movies, race, religion. Nothing is off limits here on the off ramp. We ask everybody to be respectful of each other. This is a place of community. We did this so that people will stop having discussions on the internet with just their Twitter fingers. So that you can call in and have actual good conversation back and forth. And maybe we can learn something. Maybe we can get some of the energy out, you know, so it's not so emotional on the internet. And have good conversation. So if you want to call in, feel free, 929-477-3975. You can always check us on all the social platforms, the Twitters, the Instagrams, the MySpaces. We own all of them. I think with that said, then we'll start getting ready for the show, man. And I'll start the show telling you, well, look, it's a little tough for me today. I think I had my first major medical scare of my life, right? Well, no, they found like a little heart issue when I was in college. That was probably the first like major, like, whoa, what is that? Can I still play football, right? But, like, I've had surgeries, like, I've broken bones, I've torn ligaments and all that stuff. But this was the first time where I've had, like, a major medical scare, right? So, I told y'all last week that I had pink eye. We made a bunch of jokes. People was talking about eating cheek from the back. It was all fun and games. So that was last Thursday. So I started having symptoms Sunday. So the previous Sunday. So by the time Thursday came, I was like, oh, you got pink eye, right? So basically I woke up that Friday after the show. I was like, yo, for some reason this ain't getting better. Like I've had pink eye once before. You know, once you get the antibiotics, it starts clearing up. So my symptoms first happened. My kid had a game Saturday. I started having symptoms Sunday. I went to the doctor's Monday, got antibiotics. By Friday, it's still not going. It's still not working. So I go into the doctor, and he like, yeah, you don't have pink eye. You got like a viral infection in your eye. I'm like, how the hell did I get that? He like, man, you just never know. Like, it's just, you know, if you already was sick, if you already had something, it could pop up. You could have just drank after somebody 10 years ago, and then, boom, now it's popping up. So he gave me different eye medication. So now comes, so this is Friday, right? So I go through the weekend, and I'm like, it's all right. So basically Tuesday, yeah, scary shit that's probably ever happened to me. I woke up, and I couldn't open up my eyes. My alarm went off to go to work, So Monday night, I was doing work on the computer, and my eyes started bothering me, and, like, it was getting to the point where I couldn't keep it open. So I was like, you know what, I'm just going to bed. So I shut the computer down. I was like, I'll pick up work in the morning. So I went to bed, you know, set my alarm. So 5:30 in the morning, my alarm goes off, and I go to turn off the alarm, and I can't open my eyes up to see the clock. And I'm like, what the hell? So, like, I'm literally trying to open my eyes, and I couldn't. So I said, all right, well, I know I've been having eye issues the last week and a half. Maybe I just got, like, all that crust on my eyes. So I feel around. I get in the shower, turn that bitch on high, like the force joint, and I just, like, spray my eyes, and I'm, like, rubbing them, trying to get all the crust and stuff out. Yeah, I still couldn't open up my eyes. And now I'm, like, now I'm getting, like, scared. So I'm, like, yo, I've never, like, I don't know how to describe it. And I don't want to put anything on blind people, but I've never been in a position where I just couldn't open up my eye. Like, I've had swollen eyes before and couldn't open it, but you can still see something. So now, like, force my eyes open, and everything is blurry. And I'm like, fuck. Like, even when I force, like, push my fingers on my eyelids and force my eyes up, I can't see nothing. So I'm like, yo, I can't believe I went blind. Like, this is, it's extreme, you know, but, you know, when I'm like, okay, well, I don't know what's keeping my eyes shut, but when I go to open them, I should still be able to see something, but everything's blurry. So, again, it's now at this point, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning. So I'm just laying on the bed, and I'm just like, yo, this is crazy. I literally can't open my eyes. So I sat there, and I just wait, and I have another alarm that goes off at 6:30 when I got to wake up my son. So I'm just like, I'm just waiting for that alarm goes off. So the alarm goes off, I tap DJ C. Sign. I'm like, yo, you got to take me to the hospital. I'm blind. She was just like, what? And I was like, I literally cannot open my eyes. Like, I can't do anything. And she, I was like, but I want you to get Julius to school first. Because there's no point in rushing me right then and there. Like, you might as well get the kid to school first, and then we can worry about all that. So fast forward. She takes me, so I'm sitting there with the doc, and I'm like, yo, I can't open my eye. And he's like, all right. So he gets some gloves, and he looks at it, and he's like, you know what the fucked up thing is? And I didn't even know this was possible. So, again, backstory, they were treating me for pink eye, so I was on antibiotics. But it was really a viral infection. So I guess bacteria and viruses, you know, two different types of ways to attack yourself. Attack your system. So because I was on antibiotics, I was killing skin cells in my eye because it was really a virus that was attacking me. Me being on antibiotics allowed the virus to attack another part of my eye. So what the doctor basically says is I got an eye infection in both of my eyes, but in my right eye, I have two different eye infections. Well, it's the virus, but it's just hitting different parts of my eye. The first eye infection was on the surface. Now it's in the part. I got glaucoma, so now it's like in the back part of my retina. So he was like, all right, we put you on basically everything. And I was like, I'm sitting in there, and I'm like, yo, am I never going to see again? Because, you know, I literally could not open my eyes to see a thing. Like, I've literally been in the dark. I was like, am I going to lose my eyesight? And he was like, no. And, like, that was the biggest relief. When you ever feel like something's going to happen and, like, you're just in the dark, and he was just like, no, it's just going to take some time. He's like, you're probably another week out from feeling. He's like, we're going to get you on, like, all the – he's like, we should have probably got you on this earlier once we found out that it wasn't antibiotics. He's like, but we're going to get you on the heaviest viral medication. And then, you know – it should be gone, and he's like, it's never really gone, but it should calm down, you know, within a week in your eyes, and you should be back to normal. And he was like, if this happens a lot, then we're going to have to get you on, like, viral medication all the time. He was like, but if it's never happened before, then, you know, you might be good after this eye paste. Because they basically got to put a paste in my eye, like some kind of viral medication in my eye. So I was like, all right, cool. So I've basically – but because of that, this medication is, like, it's
it's not readily available. Like, it doesn't happen a lot.
So my wife had to call to like 10 different pharmacies. I had to go like 45 minutes out. I had to get my sister to take me because I couldn't see. Shout out to my baby sister. She took my son to football. She picked me up. I couldn't see a thing. And what I mean, I couldn't see, like, these people are literally, like, having to hold my hand and walk me in the store. And I had to go 45 minutes away to get the medicine. And, like, it's crazy because, so DJ C-Sound had to put the medicine because it's got to go on my eyeball, right? Like, and this ain't like a drop where she can, like, open up my eye and spread it. Like, she's got to, like, open up my eye, take a Q-tip, and, like, spread it all on my eyeball. But basically, my eyes didn't open up until 7 o'clock tonight. Like, my wife was like, so my son had to go to his football practice, and my wife was like, you want to go to practice? And I was like, no, I'm going to just be sitting there. She's like, but I've literally just been laying in the bed with an ice pack over my eye for like the last 2.5 days. Like, I couldn't open up my eye since Monday. And she was like, just get out the house so, you know, you get some rays. I'm like, whatever. So I put some sunglasses on so nobody looking at me like, yo, why is his face all scrunched up? Because I couldn't open up my eyes. And then, like, I'm just sitting there, and she's just talking to me. The next thing you know, my eyes start opening up. And I say all that to say this. How could y'all be tripping over the modern medicine, over modern medicine, yo? Modern medicine is amazing, yo. I cannot see. And within 24 hours of medication, one of my eyes opened. Now, the second one started, though. But I'm starting to see again, yo. Shout out to modern medicine. So that's my story. So if we cut it off early tonight, it's really just because I'm still having a little trouble seeing. I got to get another dose of medicine tonight and head back to the docs tomorrow. But, you know, story last 2 weeks, man. I was literally blind for 2 days, man. And shout out to the blind folks. Y'all got a tough time, yo. Being in a car blind while somebody else is driving, if you're not used to it, like, you feel like you're getting in an accident every time. Like, I felt like, I guess it's what people have with car sickness, because I know my wife can drive. I know she's a good driver, but I felt myself getting sick because I couldn't, like, see the curbs or anything. So that's my story, man. It's been a rough couple of weeks for your boys. My first big health scare. I'm disappointed in my body, but I guess I've been feeding nothing but alcohol for the last 4 years. So maybe I need to get back in shape. DJ C-Sound, you got anything to say about my health scare? About when I was about to go blind? And shout out to DJ C-Sound. I told you she was a dickhead to me the first time when I thought something was going on in my eyes. And she was like, why'd you wake me up? I can't go back to sleep now when I was really scared. This time when I was really scared, when I couldn't open up my eyes and I thought I was going blind, she was very compassionate and loving. So I'll tell you when you do bad. I'll tell you when you do good. So good job. You got to talk.
I don't know what you said something, and I was just like, my eyes draining. Okay. Been draining. I don't know why you woke me up. I don't know.
And that's love. Right there. Got my man Blur in the building. Blur, welcome to the Auburn. How you doing today, my brother?
Oh, man, I'm blessed and highly favored, man, as always. I can see clearly out of both my eyes. I feel like I got 20/20 vision. I mean, I'm clearly one of God's favorite children because, I mean, I can see, and some of us can't. So, yeah, I'm blessed. I do want to ask, though, man, I don't know, you might be underselling it. Were you really that calm? You woke up and couldn't see, like couldn't open your eyes with your own power without using your hands, and you were really that calm? Like, yo, babe, wake up. I can't see. You weren't freaking out?
I mean, I was freaking out. I mean, but I'm not like a big, I mean, you know me, Blur. I mean, we go, you know, we've been brothers since kids. I'm not a big reactionary, emotional person. But, yeah, I was freaking out. I was sitting there because it was about a half an hour between, well, I think it was about a half an hour. It seemed like about a half an hour between my alarm went off to wake up my son that I was just sitting there like, yo, I'm not going to ever be able to see my son play sports again. Like, I'm not going to see him graduate. I'm not going to see him get married. Like, I thought my vision was gone because I usually wake up about 5:30. So I wake up about an hour and a half before anybody wakes up in the house. So when I initially woke up, I spent about an hour just trying to open my eyes. Couldn't. Like, and even when I forced my eyes open, like, I couldn't even see it. Everything was completely blurry. Like, I couldn't make out anything. And I was just like, so mentally, yeah, I was freaking out. But, like, dog, when you can't see nothing, like, what are you going to do? You can't run nowhere. You can't scream. Like, you just got to wait until the person that you know is next to you wakes up. And so they can help you out. And because of that, I realized I'll never divorce my wife, because if I go blind, if I was by myself, I don't know what I would have done. I couldn't figure out where my phone was, like, because I was reaching around on my night table. I couldn't really figure out. Yeah, you know, I could figure out where the bathroom and stuff was because I'm so used to that. But, you know, going from, like, being able to see and not being able to see in an instant, well, what felt like an instant because, like, my eye was bothering me, but I was on the computer. I was seeing, and then I woke up and couldn't see. So, yeah, I was freaking out. But, I mean, like, you can't go nowhere. Yeah, you can't see nothing. Who am I going to go run to?
I don't know, man. I felt like I would have been freaking out. Now, I don't know if I don't like to cause a scene, but I feel like if I wake up and I can't see, don't let it be spending an hour or two or feel like an hour of me trying to get my eyes open. Oh, nah, it ain't going to be just a calm wake up. I'm going to be shaking the bed. I'm going to be pushing my girl. I might drag her out the bed just so she know how urgent it is. Like, I mean, it's going to be rough. It ain't going to be your bed. I can't see.
Yes.
But take our son to school first. I'll be ready when you get back. It ain't going to be like that. It's just not.
Oh, man. Hey, I got my man MX and Money in the building. MX and Money, welcome to the offering. How you doing tonight, my brother?
Man, like my man, man, blessed and highly favored, man. Blessed and highly favored, man. Blessed and highly favored. I try to tell you, man. I always used to tell you back at TU, you need to wash your hands after you take a shit and don't touch your eyes. And I try to tell you that, man, and now it caught up to your ass, man. You waking up, can't see and shit, man. I mean, I would say I told you so, but I feel bad for you, bro. So I'm just going to tell you, just do that.
I've never had a conversation in our lives where you told me to wash my hands after I take a shit. I feel like I had a conversation.
Yo, you be picking. Yeah, I try to tell you, yeah, don't be touch, don't be doing that shit. Don't leave the bathroom and start touching your eyes and shit, man. I try to tell you, man. You know, just letting you know, man. I was there for you when you wasn't thinking. When you didn't think it was.
But you know, but the funny thing is, that's how normal pink eye is. But this is a virus infection. Like, normal pink eye is bacteria. So, right, you touch shit, you touch your eye, you get pink eye. But this is a virus. This is, like, something I ingested.
No, you can still touch it. And
it can still be on shit?
I don't know. No.
Hey, man, but listen, man, I'm glad you're able to see again, man, on some real shit. I think I'm with Blur, though. I think, you know, waking up not being able to see is a little bit more than just let me figure it out and don't wake my wife up and shit, man. Fuck that. Fuck her sleep at that point. She going to get the fuck out with me if I can't see. So you're a way better man than me, because her ass would have been up with me, and we both would have been trying to figure this shit out.
But see, your kids are older, and Blur kids are older, too. You're not thinking, like, if I woke her up right then and there, like, the next move is to wake Julius up, and then what are we going to do with our son? So, like, I was sitting there, like, all right, well, let me get him to school, and then while he's
you
in school, we
see,
got all
this. So how? You can't see, bro. How you getting somebody to school? Like, that don't even make sense. Are you sitting there? Oh, yeah, I'm saying, while you were sitting there thinking about all this shit, not being able to see, her ass would have been thinking with me. That's what my point is. Because I'm waking her up. I'm just not going to sit there trying to fiddle around not being able to see without my hand go reaching over and be like, you know what I mean, with the pushes and the shoves. Like, yo, babe, I'm blind. Like, shit, like, what the fuck going on here? Like, that would have freaked me out. You out here contemplating life and shit, and then while you got somebody that can help you sitting right next to you, you contemplating life. That's some bullshit to me.
See,
I was definitely Cuba Gooding punching in the air like I ain't never gonna see my son grow up.
Right, yeah, like nah, yo, we gonna fight this together, yo. You gonna be right up with my ass. Fuck that.
But all right, we got my man New York in the building. New York. Welcome to the off ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
And look, I'm good. I'm glad you better. Like everybody said, nah, bro. I wake up in the morning and I can't see. Nah, bro, I'm screaming. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs. I don't care what nobody says. I don't play with my vision. I'm out of there. Nope, screaming. I'm running into everything. I don't care. Hit a wall, fall down. I'm going to get back up, run into another wall. No, I'm screaming, bro.
It is funny when, like, it wasn't funny. I'm not going to lie. I was really in my feels. So when I got to, when DJ T-Time took me to the docks, right, when it first happened, like, DJ T-Time literally has to walk me in the building. So when they're calling me back, like, she has to, like, you know how they put you on the road. Like, I can't see. So DJ T-Time, hey, like, here's my hand, walk with me. And I hear the nurse, like, keep on coming back. And I wanted to respond, bitch, I can't see. Like, I saw yesterday. I can't see today. Like, I'm not moving fast. Oh, and then I had to take a piss while I was in there. Yo, I don't know where I pissed. I'm going to let y'all know that now. I meant to talk to DJ C-Fair about that, but I couldn't do it in the office because I couldn't see if anybody was sitting next to me. But she got me to the bathroom, and I went in and I used my foot to kind of feel where the toilet is, and I felt like I just used spatial recognition because I have no idea where I pissed.
Yo, that's why everybody needs to have a urinal in their house, yo, because it's like, you don't even need to aim. You can just stand right there and make it work. Just saying.
You're one of the few people I know who has a urinal fashion. Yeah.
Just saying. You need to get one.
I thought
one,
you should have a urinal. But, like,
don't
why are you getting
you
a urinal on your back?
I feel like we're overlooking a very obvious answer. Just sit down and pee. Like, if you're able to kick to find the toilet, just sit down. Like, you be all right.
Yo,
that's real bitch like.
Great thought. I thought about that, but I couldn't see if someone, like, shitted on the toilet before me. Like, I couldn't see what the toilet looked like to know if I needed to clean it or not.
Yo, you think way too much, man. You just need to start doing shit.
You know, because you couldn't see what was on the toilet. You decided to just piss all over the toilet.
Right. You fucked it up for everybody else, yo, because your ass just couldn't sit down.
I know I hit the side a little bit because I didn't hear, you know, the little thump when your piss first hits the water and then you can hear the pee hitting the water. So I know I hit the side a little bit, but I know I got to the water pretty quickly. But you know when, like, the stream stops being strong and it just starts leaking out? I don't know where none of that urine went, yo. I don't know how close I was to the toilet and wasn't.
Yo, as long as it didn't hit you, yo, you good.
Yeah.
You know, you start peeing down your leg and shit, yo.
Bruh, not being able to see was crazy. And, like, only one eye works really well, man. Like right now, I can
tell. I'm mad you went to work in that condition. Why the hell are you going to work? What the hell was that more important that you had to go to work?
I didn't go to work. No, I was working the night before, like, at home on my laptop. That was, like, my eyes bothering me. Like, I was talking to DJ C-Side. I was like, my eyes bother me. I was like, fuck it. Let me just shut the laptop down. I'm going to just go to bed. And then the next morning, I woke up, and I couldn't open up my eyes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I haven't been to work since, what, Monday? Tuesday? Probably Monday.
Tough,
yo. Yeah. Welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight?
Not too good, man. I just, finished baseball practice a long time ago. My truck won't start, so I've been sitting up here at the field, and one of the few times where I don't have any weed with me to kill the time. So I'm just sitting up here waiting on the tow truck, listening to the off ramp.
Wait,
why are you waiting? Look, that could be peaceful, but why haven't you called somebody to pick you up? You know, a bunch of people live near you.
Because I need to be here when my truck is towed, homie.
Why do you have to be there when your truck is towed?
Because it's my baby.
Why were you trying to get a jump? But why were you getting a jump?
That's your baby. You get new tires with a truck.
There was no parents that could give you a jump?
Yeah, everybody. I tried 3-4 times. I think it's the electrical system. Something going on with it. So I'm going to have it towed over to the dealership.
Yeah, I feel like you should have went home and just left your car key there. Can't nobody steal the motherfucker.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's broke down.
I ain't doing shit.
Well, I hope nobody, what's that movie, Misery, where they steal people, where they stole people and ate them? What was that movie you made me watch when they were in West Virginia?
I forgot the weed, but I still got the 9.
I was thinking the Hills Have Eyes, but I guess Deliverance, they might have did that too.
Deliverance, they didn't get eaten? Yeah, they were. I don't know. We'll have that conversation. All right, man. Well, so that's my blind story, man. Real talk, it's been a rough 2.5 weeks for your boy. But I feel like my eye opened up today, so I feel like I'm on the mend. I feel like the medicine they gave me the last 2 days have probably been kicking in. So pray for your boy. It is scary being blind. Shout out to all the blind people out there. Today, yeah, that's it. So let's get back to the regular off-rant. Enough about me. DJ C-Side, do you want to say anything about this experience? Was you scared for me? Was you worried about my life? Was you worried about my health? Or you thought I was going to be fine the whole time?
I thought she'd be fine, but, I mean, it's definitely a little more severe compounded than what.
Because you've never seen me in a big health scare. This is our first one, right? This is our first one together.
The blood pressure.
Oh, yeah, when I almost died, it's going driving the floor. Yeah, that was bad. But I just felt weird. That didn't felt bad.
Well, I'm concerned about that.
Yeah, when we were driving to Florida, I was like, man, for some reason I feel weird. And I checked my blood pressure, and it was like 200 over 210. And Cheryl was like, you're about to die. That's it. Well, we got 4 more hours to go, so what do you want me to do? Yeah, she was real concerned. But I didn't die, so. All right, well, I guess that's the house here. All right. That's enough of that. All right, so we'll get back to the regular program. Different topics tonight. Got a lot of stuff to discuss. Football's back, man. We got a lot of – oh, man, did the string go down? See?
Yeah.
Ain't good. Football's back, man. We got a big weekend in college. Deion Sanders shocked the world. We got NFL on tonight. Fantasy's back. We're gambling. MX your money, man. You missed the last couple of weeks. We'll start with you, man. What you most excited about with football this coming season?
Man, see if my 9 is going to be able to bring 6 home, man. I mean, it's going to be a long season. I feel like there's a lot of good teams in the NFC East. I feel like we should dominate the West. But, yeah, it's a lot of good storylines, too. A lot of people got paid. We paid Bosa. Burrow just dropped. Lamar got paid. A lot of people got paid, man. Interested to see how Odell, even though, you know what I mean, I can't stand the Ravens fans, but see how if Lamar can get with a good receiver. They always say he never had a legit number one. I don't know if, you know what I mean, if Odell is the legit number one. We got to see how he comes back off of that injury. I mean, he was a number one before, but I'm just saying, now for ACL, you know, you got to see, right? So, but if he is that dude like he used to be, I don't feel like, yo, Lamar gets 0 passes now. Like, you can't really give him no more, you know, like passes. I don't want to hear about he got a new coordinator, there's a new system. right? Because everybody, I mean, I feel like, you know what I mean, the knock was that he didn't have a good receiver. He got now a good tight end and a good receiver. And so with his ability, he should be able to make something happen. So I'm interested in that storyline. Everybody talking about these Detroit Lions. I don't know. I don't believe that hype at all. Then you got the Jets. And I'm interested to hear what everybody else got to say, but I'm always wary when you got a star quarterback that's been with a franchise for a long time, won with them, Super Bowl with them, and then they leave to go to another team. Is that like the ending of their career? It just like doesn't match really what it could have been if they just would have retired with that same team, i.e. like a Joe Montana. Right, I think this is kind of like the similar to what Aaron Rodgers Ray do with the Jets, kind of take them to a playoff, lose, and then kind of still go out on like that losing note. Like Montana could have easily just have retired a Niner and then would have just been still the greatest quarterback until Brady came along years later. But you know what I mean? But he had to go to the Chiefs because we had to get some cap room together. And, you know, took him to the playoffs, but then he, you know, kind of fizzled out. And I feel like this is kind of the trajectory that Aaron Rodgers will be on. But anyway, you know, and seeing if your boys, you know what I mean, the Eagles, see if that hype, you know, you're always like that. You go to the Super Bowl, that slump thing happens, right? See if that happens to y'all. So it's a lot of storylines, bro. Excited about week one. Why we come go up this, the Steelers and bang them in the mouth.
Pause. Okay. Blur, what you got? What you excited about this year?
Hold up. Before we go, because I don't think M. Escher was here. Did he got any bold predictions? I know he said what he's looking towards. What's a bold prediction for the NFL season?
Just to recap. I said that the Chiefs wouldn't make the playoffs. Blur said... DJC signed that the Eagles will win the Super Bowl. Blur said, what'd you say, Blur, that three teams from the AFC North will make the playoffs?
Nope.
And you said something
else. Nope. I said all four teams from the AFC North will make the playoffs, which says more about the other teams in the AFC than it does about the AFC North. That's the strongest division, but I think all four of them make the playoffs, and only the winner from the other divisions make the playoffs.
And what was your other one? Was that the only one Blair said? What did Hose say? Hose said that Trey Lance would be the starter by week three.
Week five,
which obviously that
he was wrong.
Now, did he say five? Did he say five or three? I thought he said three whenever we played played the Giants.
Oh, DJC Siren type five. She got the predictions on her phone. So she said by week five. So he obviously push up that one.
Dallas sub 500 this year.
And New York will beat the 49ers in week three. So that was Hone's hot takes. So, Max, what's your hot takes for this year?
I think we go to the bowl. I think the Jets get to the championship. And surprise
no,
me,
that
I
was
think
a,
the Ravens.
That was Julius' hot take, too. He said Aaron Rodgers is going to lead the Jets to the Super Bowl.
And my last one is that the Ravens missed the playoffs.
Raiders missed the playoffs?
Yeah.
You said Raiders or Ravens?
Ravens missed the playoffs.
The Baltimore Ravens,
Ravens
with Lamar Jackson.
Yes. Correct.
And Odell Beckham Jr. I know you got question marks, but you think they missed the playoffs?
You said a bold prediction, man. I ain't saying it's going to actually happen. I'm not putting
that's bold.
It's a bold.
That's bold.
A bold prediction.
I like it. I don't think wishing for a super bold prediction, but, you know, all the other ones I like, Jet Rodgers.
Well,
that's why I didn't put my
the thing about it. No, but the thing about the Rodgers one is that, like, what he has to go through, right? So you got Buffalo, Chiefs, and AFC North, right? And I think that, like, you know, like, to get through those teams, I think some of those teams got to fizzle out. That's why I'm saying it all kind of aligns, right? Ravens missed the playoffs. Chiefs and Buffalo kind of cancel each other out. It creates an easier path for Rodgers to get in because I think at that point he's going to have to win, like, one or two games. And I have to give him one or two games in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying, to get to the Super Bowl.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, so we got your bold prediction. Weezy, what's your bold prediction for the NFL?
Bold prediction. I want to say something about the Ravens. I want to say that Lamar and Odell get back on track this year. Jalen Hurts over there for the Eagles is going to put up a year similar to like a Pat Mahomes year, and you know they'll be high in the playoffs again. No real crazy prediction, but I think that's pretty normal. I'll go with Odell Beckham, getting his swag back this year.
Okay, we got Hove in the building. Hove, all done practice.
Yeah, I was at training. Yeah, we in the car now.
Okay, all right, so if the kids can hear us, so please keep your language to a minimum. What's up, nephews?
Well,
all right, so we got a bold prediction. so let's go. Let's get right to it, man. Deion Sanders. What a weekend. I think he stole college football this weekend. I mean, I think he stole the weekend as far as, you know, it was one of the most anticipated games for a number of reasons. Like, Colorado was awful last year. Deion comes in with all of his brashness. He has surgery not too long ago. Has to remove more of his foot. Vows to run his team out. They play TCU, who is a good team from, you know, last year. I mean, they were ranked this year. The rankings don't mean nothing in week one. Like, you know, you never really – the way the rosters are turned over, especially now with the NIL and the transfer portal, it's tough to tell which roster is going to really, really be good if you're not the cream of the crop, right? But we thought TCU was going to be good, but they are – traditional Big 12 school. They score a lot of points. They don't have a lot of defense. And Deion went in there and got a win. Deion turned over most of his roster. His son, both of his sons had good games. You know, even the linebacker had a good number of tackles. They had like 13 tackles or something like that. That's a hell of a game. But his son, Shador, stole the show, man. 500 yards passing. I wish I saw the game. I was watching a lot of U football that day, but I was like following it on the phone. But it seemed like a must-watch. It seemed like Hunter really showed out. It seems like he had two big drops. If he didn't have those two big drops, he probably would have had about as perfect a game as you can for somebody playing both ways. Had a big pick in the end zone, a couple touchdowns in the end zone. And the legend of Deion lives on. Now, I'm going to just give you my bold take about Deion. He can lose every game from now to the end of the season. And I think that one win, people will still say, I can see the direction. Like, as long as he doesn't get blown out every single game, if he makes every game competitive and still loses, people will say, just give him. I think people will give him that benefit of doubt. But I think for a brand new team stepping in that division with as difficult a schedule as he got, I still don't know how successful they'll be. I still think they'll be around 500, which I still think is a huge success. But I was proud. It seemed like it's been a long time since black people were all on one accord, and I think that a lot of black people from just my algorithm on Twitter were really rooting for Deion. Like, it seemed like every black person I knew who was at these kids' football games had their phone out watching the Colorado TCU game, really rooting for Deion. And it seemed like a hell of a game.
So, Blair, I'll start with you, man. What do you think about Deion and the TCU and versus Colorado game?
Oh, I think it was a great game. I ain't going front. I did have them losing this game. I still had Deion and I had Colorado getting four wins this season, which, you know, they had one win, and they were by far, just like you said, they were by far the worst FBS school. It wasn't even close. Like, their margin of loss was worse than any other team in FBS. So they weren't just losing. They were getting blown out. And so, yeah, I'm not surprised that they pulled out a win, but I had them picked to lose because I didn't really think they would just gel that fast. Not necessarily like the people he brought with him, you know, Travis Hunter, Shador. I thought it would be more like the bigs. Up front, I didn't know if they had enough time to get them all together and right, but coaching matters, man. He had a game plan to work around that. Like, a lot of quick passes, moving the pocket around. They had it. They did exactly what they needed to do to work around any deficiencies that they had, which I still think they might be a little deficient up front. But, hey, it was enough to get it done against TCU. I wasn't expect. I knew TCU lost a lot from last year. Like, from everything I saw, like, them even being ranked 17th in the country was, like, people were saying, like, nah, that's just that ain't it. But I didn't expect them to be that bad defensively. They didn't look like they had it. And again, I know they lost a lot of people. They just didn't look like they had the talent out there defensively. That's that, man. I get it. Like, I understand why everybody was so up in arms when Deion left Jackson State, man. He is a polarizing dude, and he's going to bring the spotlight wherever he's at. Like, wherever he's at. Like, Colorado is not about to make, I don't think, I won't be a hater. I don't think they're going to make a bowl game. They're not going to, like, get in the playoffs or nothing like that. But they will be the talk of college football all season. And this is a team I'm thinking to go four, maybe five wins, and they still will be the most popular team in college football. And it's all off the strength of Deion Sanders, man. Dude is just polarizing.
Must see TV. And Max, what do you think about Deion?
I mean, I agree to a certain extent about what both of y'all just said. I think the Deion factor, the prime factor, is always going to be relevant. I mean, he has endless resources of individuals that can come in and train somebody up, or you know what I mean? And I know that people were talking about how he's always been the student of the game, so just love coaching. So I'm not really surprised that his success as a coach – and as a motivating, like, person, right, that can get, you know, men to do certain things, right? I just think that, like, I think he's going to shock a lot of people for that fact. I know, like, the whole 68 rosters, I guess, or scholarships that he gave away or whatever, or he let go. But there wasn't 11. Like, I don't think a lot of people are out here talking about that part. Right, like they talking about how much has never been done before, but they're 1-11. Like, what was he supposed to do with that? Right, like I wouldn't have no confidence in that team either. You just went 1-11. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? So I was kind of like, that's how my thought was. You know what I mean? When they were talking about, you know what I mean, that whole other coaches talking about, oh, yeah, he's not going to do it, he ain't going to be able to do that because of the such a turnover. But I'm sitting here like, of course y'all saying that because you want to play the same people that y'all probably worked up on, right? Like, so I would be trying to figure out how I can get a new team too, especially if I can. Now, what I would tell you is that even if he wins five games this year, I don't agree with the whole if he only going to win no other games, because I think he'll be heavily scrutinized and they'll come back to the whole 68, whatever, with that dumbass argument, because it is dumb because they went 1-11 last year. So that's like act like those dudes would have just turned that around right away. So what I will say is this, though. Next year, I don't want to be a coach that is competing over the same person and I got to face Deion. Like that, I think he's going to win a lot of the recruiting battles with top programs. Like, and I feel like that's really what people are mad about. Because if Deion in the same living room
trying to get a player, and is this my love? Like, my, me? Like, come on. Like, I, like, it's like, you, it's not even fair. Right? Like, so, I think that's going to be the key story. It's like, what his recruiting class next year is going to be. Because if it ain't, like, one of the top in the country, then it's like, no, where's the prime effect? That's how I would look at it. Because I'm calling it the prime effect. And I feel like you walk into the number one quarterback and be like, look, man, yeah, I'm prime. Like, and you got Saban over there talking about championships. I feel like you got to look at, like, yo, the prime factor. It may not end up being that way all the time, but I just feel like that prime factor is putting him on, like, that Saban-type level of recruiting with all the championships just because he's Deion. Like, I would love to play for Deion just being his president over some championship. Because I feel like he can get me to the league regardless.
Yes, I kind of agree. Hope, what you got on Deion?
Yeah, man, it was a great win. Like, I didn't have them winning that game. I thought they would struggle in the trenches, which they held up pretty well. I think they'll end up putting up. I think they'll win probably 7 games this year, because the Pac-12, like, there's no defense in the Pac-12, so. They got offense, they got athletes, so I think they got to see, they got to play Utah. So there's some games that I'm like, I don't know, like, if they can compete with, but they'll be about a 6-7 win team because they got firepower on offense and they play in a conference that doesn't play very good defense. And there's a lot of really bad teams in the Pac-12 that they'll get to play too. So, I mean, and I think Prime he'll do his thing on the recruiting trail. I honestly don't think this is his final destination. I think this is a stepping stone to get to one of those big jobs of Miami, a Florida State, a Texas, like something bigger is coming. I don't think he ends the trip at Colorado. I think he wants to be at one of the biggest football universities in the nation and take over one of those teams and put together a Nick Saban type of run.
That's what I was thinking when MX was saying he don't want to be someone competing, be a coach next year, recruiting against them. I don't want to be a coach next year who's on the hot seat. Because the same way Colorado just offered him the bag and he came, I think he does the same thing if another bigger school comes. Like, I don't even know who the coach is in Texas. But if he ain't getting it done, he on the hot seat because I think Shador got, what, 2 seasons? I don't think Deion leaves again while Shador got 2 seasons. But after that, I think it's an open market for him.
Shador, I mean, if he stays, he only got – he has 2, but he could leave after next year.
Yeah, I don't think he leaves, though. I think he sticks around. I mean, well, they already talking Heisman for him, but I don't think he leaves anywhere while Shador is still playing. I think this is where Shador is going to finish out his college career. I think he'll be there for the whole time. After that, though, any coach on the hot seat, it's a wrap. Don't let it be one of the SEC or down south teams, Texas, Florida State, maybe even LSU. Man, they going to throw the bag at Deion, and I think he's going to go right there and clean up.
I don't think he leaves Colorado. I think Colorado did not realize – I mean, it's crazy when you take a roll of the dice, right? Colorado's so bad. Now, Colorado used to be good. I was a fan of Colorado. I was a fan of basically every team in the Big 12 back in the day. I just loved their style of football. I used to watch Colorado all the time. And Colorado just went to shit. It just looked terrible, terrible football. And they took a chance on Deion. And they just beat their first-ranked opponent in, like, I don't know, 20 years or something, they said. If you're Colorado, and they've already sold out all their games for the rest of the year. So they have seen probably at least $100 million jump in revenue, if not more. I don't think – now, look. You guys are right. Them SEC schools, those bags are a little bit different. But I think Colorado probably offers Deion, like, a piece of Colorado University to stay there. I don't know if what they've seen happen in just the last few months, if Deion can keep this up, I don't know if they let Deion go. I think they tell him whatever you want, write your own check. Because
nah,
after that
the
first
money
week,
ain't there.
You got two. What'd you say?
They can't compete with an LSU or a Texas. Like, when it comes to offering the bag, like, I don't care how good he does this year, they cannot compete with it. They didn't even have the $3 million to pay him this year. Bro, he offered him the contract without the money.
Yeah, they floated the shit out of that money.
You're talking about Texas being one of the most profitable universities in the nation. Like, LSU, one of the most profitable, like, they can't afford that. When he gets it, he's going, bro. I guarantee it.
I'm not arguing with the reputation of Texas. And I understand what you're saying about Colorado, but what they also said was, like, Colorado has low-key tech money. Like, they didn't have the money to give it to him at that moment. But it's not like they weren't good for it. It's not like they wasn't going to be able to get it. They said Colorado, I don't know
what
that
if Oregon, he's talking about tech money. What if Oregon decided to offer him the bag? So he's with Nike. He goes to Oregon. Come on, man. I understand they could give him a blank check, but whatever blank check they could give him, someone else can give him a bigger one.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, y'all probably right. Like, I'm not saying that y'all are wrong. I'm not arguing. I'm just I don't know if I'm Colorado, right? And I'm saying I was nothing. And then you showed up and made it probably the most popular team in college football. We got black people buying Colorado University Buffalo t-shirts for the Deion.
Yeah, their uniforms are still one of the toughest out there. Them
oh,
all
yeah,
black
that's why I'm
saying. Them all
yeah,
black
like,
guys are so hard. Like,
but
even
I don't
back
know
in the day,
if
I used to love them.
Tell God, whatever you want, you can have. We were the ones that came and got you. I don't know how Deion turns that down, because he can get whatever he wants. Unless you're telling me it's hard to get players to come to Colorado. And their NIL money isn't good enough.
Yeah,
because it's the
same
thing.
But, I still think the pro factor wins, though. Like, I know they can't compete on the NIL. They probably like, but I still think he can recruit and sell that NFL dream that no coach can say. Well, at least the majority of them can't be out here saying, like, he been there. He knows. I told Mike Garver, come give my team a pep talk, and then he's going to show up. You don't think? Anybody who asks Deion says, hey, I need your help. Come help one of these guys. I got a guy that I need your help with. You don't think they ain't going to show up for him? Like, that factor is, that's unmatched. And if you give him that bag of, like, a top premier school, like, he might fuck around and just rename it Prime University and then just roll with it. Like, I mean, that's just endorsement deal, like that's stuff that Colorado can't guarantee it. I think he can bring it, but it's just a different level. Though. Like the home is blurred, it's just a different level. Like, yeah,
I just don't know if Colorado. That's what I just don't know. I don't know if Colorado can't compete or they just haven't had the excitement for the rich people in that community to put the money in to compete. Because they were always a big time program. I mean,
yeah, they
were
a big
kids,
time
Colorado,
program. Back in the day.
Their
yeah.
program.
Who was the dude that
so
played for
I don't know.
Who was the dude that played for
them? Huh?
Before they asked for it. And who else? Did somebody else play for them? I know Cordell because that's the reason why I started rocking now.
Mike, who was it? Mike West? Who's the wide receiver they got up for the mouse?
Oh, not the first one.
Who is it?
Yeah.
New York, New York. You got anything on Colorado?
And now you know how my thing, man. Where to begin?
Well, I didn't know if you was a Deion fan. I see you in the music video, so I didn't know if you was too busy to watch. to watch the game, but you still made time to check out Deion, man. But all right, cool. Y'all got anything left on Deion and Colorado? Do y'all think Shador should be a – let's start with that. I'll go to you, Ho. You think Shador should be in the Heisman running already? All right, I don't know where Hope went. What about you, Blur?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't think – see, I don't even know if anyone mentioned it, but they had three players entered into the Heisman conversation, whatever that conversation is, but it's like three people now on the radar for the Heisman after one game. I think that's a bit much. But they all kind of deserved it based off of their performance. But, yeah, I told y'all last year when he was at Jackson State, they were already mentioning him as like a Heisman level talent. And again, I said it didn't. Like Paul Feinbaum said it last year, like, yo, this kid should be in conversation for the Heisman. That's last year at Jackson State at HBCU. But obviously, that wasn't going to ever catch fire. I wonder why we're really going to look at him like that, because it's always going to be the competition you're facing. I still think it's going to be the same knock this year. Again, it's FBS level competition, but he ain't really like he ain't in the SEC. And I know dude out of USC is like the front runner, but I think USC probably plays a much tougher schedule than Colorado does. So I think he should be in the conversation. I don't think he wins, but I think he definitely deserves to be in the conversation.
No, USC and Colorado basically play the same type of schedule.
I'll have to take a look, but I'll assume Colorado's schedule. Like, I know the back end. I remember looking at the back end of their schedule was pretty rough. That's why I figured Deion wasn't going to end the season well, which is going to be a knock. But I don't think USC, I know they got – I'll have to look it up. I thought they had a pretty tight schedule this year.
I mean, they do. USC is one of those premier teams that could win it all. Now, they had that first half that they played against, I don't know, they played somebody like Iowa State the first game of the season. And that first half, it was going back and forth. But I tell you what, USC has two freshmen that are like Reggie Bush out there. Like they some difference makers out there. Like gangbangers with speed is what they call them on the program. Like them kids hit a different gear, and it's a wrap. So I really watched them the first couple weeks. So the Heisman running is funny because it's only week one. But I think Shador, I mean, you're telling me he threw for 500 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions. I don't know who had a better week than him. I mean, Caleb Williams is definitely a front runner because he's nice. But he ain't have a better week than Shador did. I would honestly say that freshman on USC had the best week out of USC. I don't know who else would have had a better week, though. So I would definitely put Shador up there, but I'm anxious to see how – who is it, Marvin Harris Jr.'s son? Who's over there at Ohio State? Who could have been, like, the number one wide receiver last year?
Yeah, I think it is. It's like him and Jerry Rice, right? Both of them are.
Say that again.
Don't Jerry Rice son play receiver? Don't Jerry Rice son play receiver?
Yeah, but I don't know if he plays for Ohio State.
No. I'm saying those two NFL receivers have sons playing receiver right now.
And right? I think Randy Moss got a son playing receiver. Or no, Randy Moss son is a tight end, I think.
Yeah,
but he's
Randy
like
Moss
a
big,
tall tight end.
But he in the league already, ain't he? The funny thing is, it's going to be interesting when NIL goes back to more discussion. And Ho, feel free to jump in. I called on you, but you were gone. So I don't know if you're doing something. But it's going to be funny because Caleb Williams has already said, hey, if the Cardinals are the first pick in the draft and I don't like them, I'm staying in USC because I can still make millions of dollars here at USC, and he might not go to the draft. So if you're Deion Sanderson, you could be the number one pick and a Heisman Trophy winner, but you have to go to Arizona. Do you go? Or do you stay and make money and
wait a minute.
You go?
You go pro. And they've been talking about this on ESPN Radio all day today. And I have to agree with a lot of people. They said this is just a dumb conversation. With like Caleb Williams talking about what do you do if you don't like the team that's pick number one, because there's so many possibilities if you stay. And Nate, I mean, I was listening to somebody this morning talking about you could do the what was the dude's name? Eli Manning or the dude from Denver? I can't remember what he said. He said, "Yo, I'm just gonna go play baseball," or you could do what?
The
old dude. Nah, the quarterback from Denver when he was coming out.
Russell Wilson.
Nah, the old
Russell
quarterback. Who won the Super Bowl for Denver?
Peyton Manning, Eli, John Elway.
John Elway. When John Elway was coming out, he didn't want to play for San Diego. He didn't want to play for somebody. So he said, nah, you know what? The Yankees are already talking about drafting me number one. I'm just going to go play baseball because I don't want to play here. And they didn't draft him, and he wound up going to Denver. I mean, so it worked out for him. It worked out for Eli when Eli said, yo, I don't want to play for San Diego. They wound up getting a trade with Phillip Rivers. But they looked at all the other people. They're like, hey, Peyton Manning went in. He got beat up, and they went down. A few other people like, yo, still you could still have a Hall of Fame career going to a bad team. Or you could stay in college and go from being the number one pick to get injured to not getting drafted, just having a horrible year and your draft stock is dropping. If you got a chance to go number one, you just go. And I was like, yeah, I gotta agree. I think if you got a chance to go number one in the draft, you go. You cut your losses, you go, or you just deal whatever you deal with in NFL. It's better to deal with it in the NFL than having to be looked at like, yo, he's scared. Even if you're making millions of dollars in college, you ain't getting that NFL experience, and you ain't getting those years towards your contract. Might as well get in, get those years down, so you can start getting to that second contract and that second guaranteed money.
Yeah, and you're number one, so you're slotted differently, you're rated differently, you're paying, your pay is going to be different. So, yeah, I tend to say you got to take the bag. Even though you got NFL money, but that ain't your goal, right? Your goal, you can't play college all the time. So why come back with all those risks when you can just go and get the bag now? Because that's your end goal, right? Like, I wouldn't stay in college being the number one pick because of the NIL money. Like, that doesn't make sense. Like, well, my goal is to be, you know, in the NFL. Like, that just makes no sense to me.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, if you're Caleb Williams, you win a national championship. Do you want to jump in any of this? Is Weezy still here?
Weezy,
I don't know. Hey, but to talk about Shakur real quick, just what I thought. I think the best stat that was of his, not just the fact that he threw for 500, because that's awesome, but the way he spread the ball around, too. Like, it wasn't like he just was targeting one person. I mean, he had four receivers that had over, you know what I mean, 100 yards receiving. Like, that is, like, shown, like, not even, like, that you're able to come off reads. But that's also, like, growth, right? You know what I mean? For me, like, so I was like, yo, like, this dude is really legit. Like, I would, the way I saw him stay in that pocket and be composed, like, I don't care if, you know what I mean, you was at Jackson State or not, like, there were certain things that he was doing and that I didn't even appreciate when he was at Jackson State when I watched him at the Classic. Like, it just, because I just thought the same thing. I just thought it was like, all right, well, this is, like, FBS talent. And, you know what I mean, he can kind of come in with the, you know, and play like that way to a real team. So I don't know. I think it's too early for the Heisman like kind of talk. But just because I think that he needs to get more games under him and with this level of competition for me to kind of give him that. But I think he's definitely worth the discussion of like being one of the top quarterbacks in the division though.
Yeah, man, it's crazy how, like, I be hating because it's like, you know, I follow Shador, you know, because I love to see his journey,
you know, they're real big on the internet, but it's like, it's crazy how, like, he goes from Jackson State and it's like, all right, so what do I want to do to get better, you know, to prepare myself to play Division I-A football in the Pac-12? Let me go work out with Tom Brady for a couple weeks. And it's just like, man, I be hating you. I'm like, yo, man, I can't send my son to go learn from Tom Brady. His dumb ass got to learn from me. It sucks.
I don't know, man. You can send him to the Manning camp.
But now,
everybody got
kids
now.
But that's what I'm saying,
oh,
though. That's what I'm saying, B-Fuck.
Oh,
like, that's what I mean, bro. Like, he, any, if you good in his program and he sees talent and believes in you, he's going to get you an NFL person to work with. Like, it's not, it's, it, for, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, that's unmatched, bro. No other coach can do that. No other coach is calling Tom Brady like, hey, man, come work with my quarterback, and he do it. Maybe Harbaugh in Michigan because he played there. That's about it.
Yeah, he's got a network that his Rolodex is stacked. Because I remember when Tom was doing it for the people at who was the coach, the fat coach at Notre Dame who used to coach at New England? Like, he was down there working with him. And even before Shador got to college, he was working with Troy Aikman. And I just seen him working with Peyton Manning, dude, like, he's in high school. So he's been working around NFL legends, like, his whole career, or his whole life, basically. So, yeah, I mean, you could do it, but you have to pay money for those camps, because those Manning camps cost money.
Yeah, but even you're still not getting one-on-one time. Like, Shador showing videos of himself working one-on-one with Tom. Like, that's, like... Like, you can pay money to go to the Manning camps. Those are great, but they ain't one-on-one. Like, you're still 100 kids there.
It might be one-on-one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they got some one-on-one time with Daniel Jones. That's what got him his number one pick. Or his draft pick by the Giants, because the man is signing off on him. Like, yo, we've been working with him, like, since before college or since he was in college.
Detroit ties it up.
That's huge.
14-14. Damn it, Mahomes.
Kick drills.
We good. Yeah. So it's interesting. So we're all excited about the. I don't think any of us got beef with him. I think we're all, most of us are realistic. I don't think Deion's winning every single game at Colorado, but you know. I still think he'll go 500, if not a little bit above 500. I think he'll have some, I think maybe one bad loss, but, you know, some close matchups. Utah's going to be tough. USC's going to be tough. But I think he has a chance to beat everybody else.
But I'm going to be a hater, but I do think he goes, I think he goes 0-4, like, I think he ends his, like, 1-6 or 1-5 his last six games, maybe. And that's maybe, which is going to suck, but I just don't, I mean, just looking at the talent or just looking at the team he's facing over the second half of the season, I don't really know how he's going to stack up against them.
Who they got the last six games?
Stanford, UCLA, Oregon State, which is the game I think they might win, then Arizona, Washington, and Utah.
Utah is going to be tough. Arizona, they'll win. Who'd you say? Hold on. You said Stanford.
Stanford. You think they'd be Stanford?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
UCLA, they win. Oregon State will be tough. Arizona, they win. Washington State will be tough. Utah, I think, is a loss.
Yeah, you got more faith in them than I do right now because I don't see them beating Stanford or UCLA at all.
All right, let's go through it real quick, and then we'll move on. So next week they got Nebraska. We'll say the room. Does Colorado win or does Colorado lose against Nebraska at Nebraska?
I think they win.
At Colorado.
Hove, what you got?
Mac, Nebraska.
What you got, M. Extra?
When?
Next, what? Next week. What are you talking about?
All right, what you got, boy?
In 2 days,
I don't know
next.
I said win.
He said win,
oh,
not
win.
W-I-N.
Win.
Yeah. Oh,
I said
okay.
They win. I think they win against the Browns.
I was like, win. Okay. Yeah, it's that Baltimore. It's that D.C. accent. Blur, what you got? Who you got?
I think they beat Nebraska. It's the home opener.
The
like, they have been selling tickets. Well, I know it's been sold out, but they've been just like,
man,
everybody's going to be there.
I'm not trying to get you a full explanation. Let's go through the schedule real quick. So all of us got Colorado winning. So Colorado State at Colorado State in 2 weeks. Blur, who you got winning? Colorado State, Colorado.
Colorado State winning that one.
Wow, I'm extra.
They start 3-0.
Hove.
That's another win for Deion and company.
I believe it too. So then we go to Oregon. Man, that's three, Nebraska's at home and Colorado State's at home. Does that change any of your opinions? I read it wrong. I'm sorry.
They play Nebraska at home. That's their home opener, right?
Yeah, Nebraska.
Yeah, that's
their
home
opener. We all got Colorado except for Blur.
Okay.
Blur. Does that change your mind on Colorado State because it's in Colorado?
Nah, the only reason I'm actually picking Colorado State is because I think they're going to slip up. I just don't think they're going to. I don't think they're going to go 3-0. I don't know. Maybe it's the hype, and I know Deion probably haven't prepared for the hype. I just think that's going to be the game they slip up on, because it's probably a rivalry game for Colorado State.
After the one against TCU, because they're kids, 18-year-olds, you know, you get the big win on the road against a ranked opponent. I think their slip-up, if it's going to happen, is going to come against Nebraska this week. I don't think they, you know, because you just won't be as focused after everybody on your dick, after all the media hype. But just real quick, all right, so now they go after Colorado State, so all of us still got Colorado going 3-0, except for Blair. They go to Oregon. Hove, Colorado, Oregon, who you got?
Oregon.
M extra.
Oregon.
Blur.
I got Oregon.
I still have Colorado. Well, look, I tell you what. I thought Colorado might get the upset, but Oregon just put 80-something on somebody. I thought they was 100. So I could see that loss. All right, so then they got to go. Well, no, they got USC at home. M extra, who you got, Colorado or USC?
Yeah, that's another L.
Okay. Blur.
I got USC winning that one.
Hove.
Yeah, I think I got USC in a barn burner.
Okay, then they go to Arizona State, which a game that me and Hove will be at. Pretty hype about that. Hove, who you got?
Are they going to smack ASU?
M extra?
Yeah, that's a win, I think.
Blur?
Yeah, I got them be in Arizona State as well, bouncing back, getting a win off their three straight losses.
Okay, so then they're at home versus Stanford. October 13th. Blur, who you got? You already said Stanford, huh?
Yeah, I think Stanford takes it.
Interesting. Hove, who you got? Stanford, Colorado.
I'm going to lean towards Colorado on that one.
I'm extra.
I agree. I think Colorado.
Yeah, I do too. I think the only game so far in the first 7 games, they could lose to USC, they could lose to Oregon, but I got them starting their season 5-2. Okay, then they got a bye, and we got 5 games left at UCLA. Does anybody got UCLA winning that besides Blur? No?
I think that might be where they slip up.
That might be a trap game.
That's
be a
what
trap
I was
game.
Thinking.
I think they just moved UCLA boots, though. That's interesting. Okay. 6-3, so Oregon State. I think that's in Colorado. Anybody got Colorado beating Oregon State?
I do.
I do, too. I think they beat Oregon State.
I thought you said they lose the last five games. You think that's just the one loss? I mean, the one win?
Yeah, I think they get that's the one they get.
Ed Maxer, what about you?
I mean, I'm going to go Colorado.
Okay, last three games. Arizona. Anybody have Arizona beating Colorado?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Yeah, I couldn't.
Washington State. You have, okay. So you basically got them 500. The rest of us got Deion having a winning record with 3-4 losses at most.
Okay.
So it's really a difference of three games.
I mean, I think 6-4 is a great record. Like, what did they play, 12 games, or did they play 11?
What'd you say?
Either way, I think I said, how many games did they play? I'm good.
It's 11.
12. 12?
12.
12 games.
12
yeah.
games, yeah.
Yeah, I think they lose like 5 games. 7-5.
See, the way I'm looking at their schedule, I mean, I guess it's only a difference of 2. I only got them losing 3 games now. That TCU game changed a lot of outlook for me. All right, but we'll see. Ain't no point in us harping on it. You know, we only got 30 more minutes left. So, you know, we'll see what happens. Should be a good one. All right, so I guess that's enough of Deion and college football. Anybody else got anything left from college football that interested them? That they found interesting? Before we move on?
How you feel about the LSU boys after that? Not even the
LSU
boys, but Brian Kelly.
About who? Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly.
LSU went and played FSU in a big opening day matchup. It's actually our second time doing this. We did this last year and FSU beat us. It was tough. It seems like LSU was definitely unmatched, especially at the quarterback position and at the D-line position, which, you know, LSU hasn't had a string of great quarterbacks. Joe Burrow was our transfer. That was great. Other than that, we've never had really great quarterbacks, but our D-line used to be always so dominant. It was weird seeing another team's D-line be so dominant and ours not. You know what I mean? And then, I mean, I think both wide receivers were really good. Watch our background. We had a party.
My bad.
So, but, you know, what you doing, yo? Where you at, yo? Why you always in the street, yo? So you need to settle down. But I think just as a fan of the LSU, it's going to take some time with Brian Kelly. I don't really like him as a person. Anytime you're trying to change your accent to recruit kids, it goes right back to Bishop Sycamore, BS High, where you're just conning kids. And we could talk about that doc too. We didn't get a really good chance to talk about it last week. I have to wake DJC Siren up because she liked it. But anytime you're changing your accent to convince kids to come to your school, you sound like more of a con man. I'd rather you be yourself. You know what I mean? But, you know, it is what it is, man. FSU looked really good. We dominated them in the first half, but couldn't put any points up on the board except for 2. And then they dominated us in the second half, but they put the points up, and it was the difference of the game. Thank goodness they're not in our conference, and we can put it together and still win the SEC and still be – we still have more of a chance of being in the national championship than Florida State if we win the rest of our games than if Florida State loses one. Crazy how that works. But just because of the SEC, it's that big of a difference. So, what's your Shador hugging Barry Sanders? Oh, that ain't Shador.
Yeah, speaking of SEC, big game this weekend, Texas and Alabama. Who you got?
Oh, I think I got Nick Saban coming back. Look, I think Texas is doing a good job. It was a hell of a game last year. But I think Nick Saban is furious with NIL and the way kids are leaving to go be with Dion instead of being his kids. And I think he makes a statement this week and punishes Texas. Now, when I say punish, I think they only win by about 2 touchdowns because I think Texas put some good money back in their program. But the most underrated program to me is going to be Texas A&M. So that's the team I think to look out for in Texas. Who you got?
I think Bama takes it. I think it's the same thing. Like, I think Nick going to be upset, and they've been overlooked, and he probably been selling that to them all offseason. And they've been circling this game because I forget who they played last week, but it was a nobody. And I think Nick been looking at this game for almost a year. Like, he's ready.
Oh, go ahead, Bar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I think it's going to be a blow. I think it's probably going to be more than 2 scores. They blow out Texas. I've heard somebody, and I remember that because I was even listening to, talk about this might be Alabama's best defense. And at least when he said the defensive front in a very long time, and then that their best defense, but their best defensive front in a very long time. And that's saying something. Alabama, I know Georgia's gotten the spotlight over the past couple of years for their defense, but Alabama's had some pretty good defenses over the years. And if they say this is the best one Nick Saban's had in some time, that's going to be a lot of trouble for a lot of teams.
Yeah, but do they have a quarterback? That's always been Nick Saban's issue. He's always had a running game. He's always had a defense, which is a great recipe for winning. Every time he's had a quarterback, he's won. Does he have a quarterback this year? I'm anxious to see what Peyton Manning's younger brother does at Texas. Is he starting? Is Manning the starter at Texas, or is he backup?
I think he's the backup.
Okay.
I feel like we would know more. If he was the starter, I feel like we would know.
Yeah.
Like, he's polarizing enough that people would talk about it.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see what Texas looks like. They've been pouring money into that program, man. They got some recruits. You know, they've definitely have gotten better. They're definitely on the rise. Texas is a team I'm looking forward to.
I think that's why
to. They win. You think that's why Texas
wins? That's why Texas don't. Yeah. I think everything that y'all saying, I was going that route until all y'all said the same shit. So now I'm going back. I'm switching my head. Paul.
Switching it.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm going Longhorn.
That's
I'm
what
going
the great thing
about. And here's the thing. And I got it being, like, one of those, like, weird games, like Clemson. I got it being, like, the Clemson game from this week that just passed. I feel like that's what it's going to be. We're going to expect one thing, and we're going to be like, yo, this is not Alabama at all. Like, what the hell's going on here? Right? While Texas just keeps punishing their ass. Like, it's going to be, like, one of those weird games. That's my prediction.
Okay. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. It should be a good one. It's must-see TV if you're a sports fan. I know sports has dominated the conversation today, but I think all of us are big just football fans. So, you know, college opening weekend, NFL opening week, it's just really exciting time because there's so many possibilities. Football is such a finite
such a weekly sport that, you know, every week is must-see TV, especially when you have these good matchups. And you just hope the game meets the hype like Colorado TCU did. Like, that's the one thing that was great about Deion Sanders and the TCU game. Like, they had to overcome adversity. It wasn't like Colorado came and just dominated and Deion showed the proudness. Like, nah, TCU was punching Colorado in the mouth. And they had to come back. And they had to fight back. And it was a beautiful, beautiful football game. And hope to see some more of it as we go. Hope this Texas-Alabama game was a beautiful game. I'm anxious to see what Oregon does. Like, no one really talked about that. They almost scored 100 this weekend. And so I'm anxious to see what they look like. It should be some good matchups. But I know we only got about 20 minutes left. My eyes are starting to fade, fellas. I might have to cut this off a little early. But I did want to talk about BS High. Did everybody see it yet? Anybody see the picture?
Yeah, I saw it.
Sycamore? I thought we...
What was it?
Pure plastic, dude.
Yeah, I know. Hold on, Hope. Before we start talking, MX, did you see it?
I'm trying to... I didn't hear what y'all were saying. That's what I got.
Yo, MX, it's tough to even hear you. What party? Man,
what did you ask me what I saw?
The Bishop Sycamore documentary.
Oh, nice.
Oh, you got to see it. Blur, did you see it?
No, I haven't watched it yet. I saw, like, an investigative piece on it, like, right after the whole thing happened on ESPN a couple years ago, but I ain't seen the doc yet.
Nah, it's must-watch
New York. Yeah, it is. New York. I know you've been quiet. Have you seen it? It's from a guy from New York. You got to see it if you have it. It's entertaining.
Nah, I haven't seen it, but I'll look into it.
Yeah, I was going to say, if y'all could do it, I want to wait one more week because I want all y'all reaction because it's so much that goes into it. Because of all y'all played sports, I would love to get y'all real-time reaction. So if you could put it on your list next week to talk about Bishop Sycamore, it's a quick watch. It's only about an hour. I'll remind y'all, but try to watch that this week. Y'all got anything else y'all really want to talk about? I can't really see anymore.
I need to watch Fight and Fall.
Who?
I've been trying to put y'all on it, y'all. Watch Captain Fall.
Yo, where are you at?
I'm at a bar. I'm watching it. But watch Captain Fall.
Is that Netflix?
Yes.
Yeah, put it in the chat.
You gotta get past
it. Sounds like you say Captain Ball.
F-A-L-L.
Captain
F-A-L-L.
All right, I'm going to put that on my list.
Well, you got to watch.
As long as I can see. Yeah, put yourself on mute because you ain't getting nothing but background noise. But I'm going to put that on the list. I'm going to watch that this week. Make sure y'all watch BS.
Yo, you and Cheryl got to watch. You and B-Girl got to watch it at the same time. It's hilarious.
All right.
You got to get past the first episode.
I'll have her watch it. All right, I'll check it out. So that's our homework. Blur, you got two things to watch. Hove, you got one. New York, you got two. Anything else happen that y'all really want to discuss?
Something I wanted to discuss, but it's kind of a serious topic. I don't even need everybody get into it. I'll mention it. Y'all, we could come back to it. Think about it. This morning on the radio, the Breakfast Club radio show, they had Tyrese on there. And he was telling the story how he saved DJ Envy's marriage. DJ Envy cheated on his wife. She was about to file for divorce. Tyrese heard about it and started counseling them. Like, he was texting Envy's wife. You know, he came. He flew to New York just so he could sing to them at a dinner. And they both, DJ Envy and his wife, both credit Tyrese for saving their marriage. Now, after that, Tyrese was going through some things. And he started disrespecting DJ Envy's wife. He said some foul stuff to her. Like, apparently they reached out to him. He started saying some foul stuff to her. And so they kind of cut him off. Tyrese said, was like, yo, I was on meds and I was not in my right mind, he would expect someone who he did so much for, not that they owed him, but that, you know, they would give him that grace. And like, yo, you know that wasn't me. Like, I would have hoped that, you know, y'all would have still stuck with me, even though I said, man said something disrespectful, y'all would have excused them. Like, yo, you know what? That ain't really him. We're going to still be there for him. That got me thinking, because you can't, nobody's going to be able to disrespect my girl or my wife, and I continue to show up for them. So I was like, I don't know, like, how much grace do you extend to your homies? Like, can they disrespect your wife and you still be like, yo, that's my brother? I'm going to be there for him? I feel like there's a certain line where you got to even cut off the homies.
For me, if I know they're on psych meds, just because I have, like, I don't want to put their business out there, but I got, like, two friends that suffer from, I got family members that suffer from, like, schizophrenia and stuff, and they said some wild stuff. And, yeah, I forgive them because I know that they're, see, I hope they, if they listen, they know my personality and I love them. But I know they're fucking crazy. So, yeah, I still love them. They can say something disrespectful, but I know that they're, like, I know that they need to be on meds because they think someone's putting a communicator in the TV to spy on them. Like, I know they're not in the right mind. So it's real easy for me to say, oh, you're on medication. Now, when it first happens, I might be a little put off, like, what the fuck is that? But then if I hear, oh, you had to get on psych meds or you're on, you know, schizophrenia meds, that's not really you, or you were off your meds when you were talking crazy, I can forgive that in a heartbeat because I know there's something going on. Now, if you, Hov or MX, or called my wife a bitch out of her name or something like that, then, yeah, man, you got problems because I know none of y'all are fucking crazy. But I have friends that that are on psych meds, and I have seen the difference of when they're on their meds and when they're not. Like, even, like the hypersexuality part, like, is, like, I've seen text messages from people who are on psych meds to family members. It's like, yo, I can't believe you would say something like that. But they're not in the right mind. They're not on their medication. So, yeah, to me, that's, I think you're a fucked up human if you don't forgive someone that you know is on medication. Like, you know people out here crazy. You seen Batman.
And just to, I was kind of feeling the same way, but what if you didn't know they was on medication at the time? Because that's what they said. It was like, yo, they didn't know. It was like, he thought he was just, you know, being his little extra self, like, wilding out how Tyree does online. It wasn't until later that he found out, you know, he was, you know, suffering from the effects of the, I don't know, the psycho meds or whatever.
I mean, yeah, if you don't know at the time, then it's fuck you. Because you're supposed to be my man, and then you get disrespectful to my wife, then it's fuck you. But the moment I find out that you're on psych meds, then it's, oh, my bad, yo, I didn't know, I forgive you. Like, I mean, come on now. Like, I can't believe in God and not forgive someone who's on medication to keep their mind straight. Like, I mean, like, it's fucked up. Like, that's why I don't take the whole Kanye stuff all that seriously. And even, like, when he's talking about Hitler and Jews and all that stuff, like, we all, like, we know he was on psych meds, and we know he said he stopped taking them. I'm not Jewish, so I can't speak for them, but I know when someone's crazy. I can tell when someone's not on a medication. And as a person who is a fan of God and loves God, I got to be forgiving of that. Because I know they should be on medication. Now, you're not going to lay your hands on my wife. But whatever you say, I'm not going to pay attention to you because you're crazy. Y'all got anything else?
I mean, I kind of agree,
I mean,
but there's only so much I think I could bounce back from. For you, like, I mean, even if you're not in your right state of mind, I don't know. I don't know how much I can just, like, forgive and forget you disrespecting my wife, because then she going to start looking at me crazy.
I mean, you should block him at one point. Like, it shouldn't take more than two times before you say, all right, I need to block him until he gets better. Right? Like, how much disrespect are you really going to take? Like, you should be hanging out if you know they ain't on their medication, because you know they're crazy. It's too easy to cut people off in communication nowadays to for me to ever be stressed about what anybody else says. Like I've been like that since a kid. Like I don't have to talk to people if I don't want to. Like it ain't that big of a deal. But I mean, I know what you're saying. Like emotionally, it's like, yo, it's still your girl. That's your boy. I can only take so much. But if you know they fucking crazy, like we gotta have empathy, right, Blur? Like we gotta have empathy. Like if you know somebody fucked up in their mind, yo.
Yeah, and that's what I think it comes down to, like how much you know they're going through. Because like it's some things like you can just like, all right, and this person is like going through something like when they just having a bad time. Versus like what Tyrese was saying was like, yo, that he don't even remember that time in his life because he was like the meds had that much of an effect on him. Like that time is just gone. Versus someone who's like, all right, you had a bad day at work, or you know, you got a ticket and a flat tire. Now you cursing me out. All right, you know what? It's I'm cool.
Yeah. What you got, Hov? Forgiving somebody who on psych meds?
What did he say, though? Like, what did he do? Was that ever released?
Now, it was bad enough that Envy said he ain't want to repeat it. He said he didn't want to repeat it because he didn't want people to know what Tyrese actually said to his wife. So apparently it was that bad.
Yeah, I mean, but if he, once you find out, like, that he ain't right, like, he apologized and, like, I mean, you might be like, all right, bro, I need you on your meds if you want to hang with us. But you gotta forgive him. Like he's not right in the head at that point. Like it's literally not the guy you know controlling himself at that point. It's the chemical imbalances in his brain. So I would think you if that's your man like that, you'd have to forgive him.
What about you, New York? New York, you forgiving him?
I say this, like, it's not just about me forgiving them. It's also my significant other, too. Like, it can't just be me forgiving him and then, you know what I mean, my significant other feel a certain type of way about it. So, I mean, I can forgive him, but if my significant other still feel a certain type of way, like, okay, well, how do we work through this to forgive you fully? And it's just, cause I mean, I don't know what he said. I mean, he came off like very, very disrespectful. Of course, I would still feel the type of way about it. My significant other still feel a certain type of way, then, and she hasn't healed from it, then I can't say that I all the way forgive you. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you hurt somebody that was close to you, in a sense. So, I mean, I think it's us in a unison that has to forgive somebody that does something like that.
Yeah. MX, what you got while you at the bar? Hey, you should interview somebody.
So, yeah, I think grace is always has to be extended, even if you didn't know the situation. Because, when you, I mean, I get it while you're initially like, you're not here to kind of worry because you know you're disrespectful. But then you also got to understand that, like, once it's said that, like, yo, I was dealing with something, then you got to kind of come off of that, like, give the man grace for, because, you know, he was dealing with something. And they were just going through it, too, so it's not like they coming from, like, some unfamiliar territory. I mean, obviously, they know how that is, and most of them are getting involved. So you can't just, you know, kind of see, you got to see it from his side, just especially since he's been there before. And they just understand that, you know what I mean, like, it wasn't a picture, and it had nothing really to do with you, it's just him. And he acknowledging that is a big step, first of all. And so that's the reason why he's living here, because he's acknowledging the fact that, you know what I mean, he was, you know, going through some things or whatever. So that's all I think that you can, you know, that's how I think I would approach it.
Yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough. It's tough to hear you, too, while you're at the bar. But I mean, I can only imagine, like I said, I've got family members and friends who are on psych medication. Every time I know they're off, it's because, like, when you talk about, like, what did he said he didn't want to repeat, like, the one consistent thing, and I wish DJ C. Siren was awake, because she would, well, she's been dealing a lot with me, waiting on me hand and foot, so I can understand when she's tired. But a lot of things that happened with that psych medication, man. It's like hypersexual. So I wanted DJ Cesar, I mean, DJ Cesar, DJ Envy didn't want to repeat it because he probably disrespected his wife because he was, again, I'm just assuming, just because of what I've had to see and what I've had to deal with. It's, you know, a lot of sexually explicit stuff, like when these meds get in you, like it really messes with, it really becomes like hypersexuality. So I wonder if that was part of the disrespect that he didn't want to repeat because it would make Tyrese look really bad. But, yeah, I mean, like everybody said, I think I would have to extend grace. I understand what you're saying, New York, like, this is my wife, you know, forgive him. And it's funny how you have, like, two different, like the different experiences of your wives would probably influence how they react. Like, I could tell you, if something like that happened to DJ Cesar, and it has, honestly, the first thing she'll say is, oh, I need to get a needle and stab him full of medicine. Like, it's not like, I can't believe they said this. It's like, oh, he's off his meds. We got to go see him and stab him and fill him up with medication because he's obviously off his rocker. She's not going to get, can't believe you sent this to me. You hurt my feelings. She's going to immediately know this ain't the person. So I guess you're right, New York. It really depends how your spouse reacts to it. So, you know, shout out to all you crazy people, man. Take your medication. Even you non-crazy people, take your medicine. I've had to take my medicine, and I've had to take more. So I got to cut this short, fellas, because both of my eyes have completely shut now. It's time for my dose. I'm about an hour and a half behind. Y'all got anything left to say before we get out of here?
All right. Cool. I'm good. Rest up your eyes, man.
My man, I appreciate y'all, man. MX, you got anything to say before we roll?
Stay back and die, bro.
I'm going to try to live for as long as I can. I got no issue with the staying black part, but I'm not trying to die. Hove, you got anything?
Nah, I said just take care of your eyes.
I appreciate you, my brother. Blur, what you got?
Yo, and talking about the crazy people, man, made me think. I want to say shout out to my Uncle Jimmy, passed away a couple of years ago. I don't know if it was the medication, but he used to always, last time I seen him, he was talking about the Puerto Ricans listening in or eavesdropping on him, and he was coming through the walls. Not just anybody, specifically the Puerto Ricans. The Guala Gualas was coming through the walls, and they were stealing stuff, and they was listening to him. So shout out to all the people struggling with things, man. The Puerto Ricans might be coming for you, too.
Yo, my man thought the Comcast cable people was bugging him. And all they was doing was switching their, switching to everybody, you know, from whatever, like 2G to 5G. And he was standing behind the door with a 25-pound weight. And if that Comcast dude would have walked in, he'd have hit him upside the head and killed him, man. I'm so glad my cousin got to him and made sure he was safe. So I was, you're right. Boy, shout out to all the people struggling with that. I'm glad he ain't hit him with the weight, yo. New York, floor is yours.
Look, all I gotta do is say, you know what I mean, the Puerto Ricans, so free throw people, they do be stealing. If you're stealing my Wi-Fi, I can't play no games, can't play no Fortnite, can't play no 2K, can't play no nothing. Should be glitching out of everything. But other than that, you know what I mean, stay safe. I mean, people crazy out here. Just heard a little, what's it called, a little drug lord just got zip tied with a little anchor tied down to his waist. They dropped him in the ocean for stealing like 450 pounds, yo. Stay safe. Don't steal out here. It's crazy. Other than that, you know what I mean? Hope your eyesight come back. You get that 2020 vision. Other than that, you know what I mean? Look forward to a conversation next week.
Yo, how do you try to steal 450 pounds? Like, someone's going to know. Like, if you steal an ounce, no one's going to care. 450 pounds, I think you deserve the anchor. All right, man, good talking to y'all. Until next week. I don't know if I can see how to turn it off. There you go.